So last week, in verses 1 through 5, we saw how the apostle was rebuking them because they had heard the good news of Jesus Christ, that only the obedience that Jesus had offered could be what was counted for us as our righteousness before God, and that only the sacrifice that Jesus had paid could do anything about the guilt of our sin before God. They had started that way, but then when it came to growing in serving the Lord and loving Him and wanting to please Him, they had shifted to thinking that their effort, their sincerity, how well they kept the works of law would be the power or the method by which they grew in holiness. And so as he rebukes them for that, he kept before them, like we heard last week, the fact that we need almighty power to grow in godliness. If you've been discouraged in your growth in godliness, it might be an encouragement to you to know that the scripture describes it as something that takes the miraculous work, the exercise of the power of Almighty God to do. So if you find that it comes with difficulty for you, do not be surprised. And so he says, did God give you faith by works of law or by hearing? Did God give you the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did God work miracles among you by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And of course, he answered every one of those things was by the hearing of faith. Okay, so he's focusing them only on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and saying that the method by which the Lord has given us to grow in Him is that we would hear His word, the Spirit would work faith in us. And as the Spirit works faith in us as we hear His word, just like we often pray, right? Just as we're about to start the sermon, don't we, children? Ask God to give us His Holy Spirit to work faith in our hearts so that the word that we hear will do us good. Why do we do that? Why do we ask Him to do it that way? Well, because He's the one who has to do it, and that's the way He has said that He's going to do it. Well, one of the problems that Jesus ran into, and you can see this especially in the Gospel of John, although you can see it in the other Gospels as well, one of the problems that Jesus ran into when He was directing the Jews to Himself alone for spiritual righteousness before God, spiritual life, to be able to please God, is that they were pretty sure that they were fine without Him. In fact, they got tired of hearing Him make these extraordinary claims about Himself, and they hated Him. And so at one point, he is again preaching the gospel of God's grace and Himself alone, and they say, well, who's your father? We're children of Abraham. In other words, we don't need your righteousness. We don't need your power. We don't need your life. We don't even know where you come from, because you don't look like Joseph, like everybody else, all the other boys in your family, Jesus. We know you look almost exactly like a male version of Mary. You're not a child even. We are children of Abraham. And Jesus turns around and says, you're not legitimate children of Abraham. If you were, you'd be acting like Abraham. You're children of your father, the devil. Because he's the one who hates me like you hate me. And you are doing the works of your father. So apparently that strategy among those who wanted to put some confidence in the flesh, that strategy was repeated with the Apostle Paul. Because as the Apostle Paul was telling them, look at how God started the work in you. It wasn't by works of the law. It was by the hearing of faith. And it is only God who can continue doing the work in you, and that's not going to come by the works of the law. It will produce the works of the law. But it doesn't come by the works of the law. It comes by the hearing of faith. And he immediately addresses the dear children of Abraham. He says, in fact, you know what I'm telling you, Galatians, is how to be children of Abraham. So you can imagine the Galatian Christians and the Judaizing false teachers had come in and said, well, now that you believe in Jesus, you can really be children of Abraham if... And it's not just circumcision, although obviously from the way he deals with it in the book, circumcision has a very, very central place, you know, we looked at it last week, where in the middle of the book and then again at the end of the book, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. So in other words, yes, don't fall for the Judaizing version of works in the flesh and say, because we are circumcised, we are spiritually powerful, we are spiritually good. He says, but don't fall into the anti-Judaism version of works in the flesh either and say, because we are uncircumcised, we know the gospel better than you, and that makes us spiritually powerful. They're both falling into the same trick as the devil, same scheme of the devil to get us trust in the flesh. So he says, the hearing of faith, which is the mechanism by which God gave you his spirit and worked miracles among you, verse 5, is also the mechanism by which Abraham came to be righteous before God. Just as Abraham, verse 6, believed God. You remember, God was telling him, I'm going to give you all this inheritance, and Abraham says, okay, but I'm going to die, and I don't have kids, and Eliezer's going to inherit it, and all my children are going to die, and God promises him a descendant, an offspring, who could inherit, who would be immune to the death problem. Children, are any of us here stronger than death? No, we're not. You're right. But God promised Abraham that someone who would come from him would be stronger than death. Who was that? Who was it, Molly? Jesus, that's right. And so God had promised Abraham Jesus. So God spoke, and Abraham listened, and now the apostle is quoting from Genesis 15, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Okay, so he says, you received faith, and you received the Holy Spirit, and you received miracles done among you by the hearing of faith. That's how you became children of Abraham. Because that's how Abraham became Abraham, as far as righteousness, being right with God goes. So he says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. He says, you want to know how to become a child of Abraham? You've heard the Judaizers say, you can be a real child of Abraham. He says, and Paul is cutting them off, interrupting them, and finishing the sentence, by continuing by the hearing of faith. By continuing to attend upon the Word of God, knowing that only the life of Christ in you can produce love. Right? That's the first one of those, when he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision or anything is going to say, but faith working by, and you know, there are a lot of Greek words for it, but you can hear the English word that has a similar gloss as energao, faith energized by love. And then at the end of the book, you'll say neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but new creation. And so what he's doing is, the Judaizers are saying, you could be a real child of Abraham. And Paul is saying, by continuing by the hearing of faith, by continuing to hope only in Christ's life in you, and knowing that he produces it, not by virtue of how sincere you are, or how well you mean it, or how hard you try, but that those things are actually produced by the work of his word and working faith in you as you respond to his word. So therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And now he's going to describe us who believe in Jesus, just as Abraham has believed in Jesus, as children in a couple of different ways. It says, in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, make right with God, the Gentiles, which means the nations, all of us, we've got lots of nations in here, praise God. And seeing that, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed in believing Abraham. So the first way we're children of Abraham is by bearing the family resemblance. This has not happened to me too much yet with my son, but it happened my dad with me a little bit once I got older, with my dad. I'd meet somebody and I'd say, "You're Nabil's son, aren't you?" How did they know? Well, every once in a while we were in a context where there weren't a whole lot of Egyptians. And we all just looked the same to them, I guess. Bore the family resemblance. Isn't that what Jesus was saying to them? I know that you don't have that you are not the children of Abraham because you don't bear his family resemblance. I know that you are children of the devil because you do bear his family resemblance. That's the first way in which we're children of Abraham. What's the second way? Second aspect of it here in verses 8 and 9. When the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham, what did it say to him? End of verse 8. In you all the nations shall be blessed. And then it follows up with verse 9. Who are the children, or what is going on, what is happening to the children in verse 9? So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So not only are we Abraham's children by family resemblance, but if you are his children, then you're also his heirs. That which belonged to him belongs to you too, the blessing of God. So do you get inheritance by what a good job you did becoming your parents' child? No. You get it by virtue of the fact that you are the child. Right? It's not earned. It's a blessing that comes by virtue of the relationship that God has put you into. And so the blessing of God, including the ability to love him and grow in pleasing him, are part of what we receive as children by virtue of our inheritance. But that comes through the hearing of faith.